to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
There are several things that I hadn't thought of before until Nancy asked me two or three questions. And one threw me completely, which was about how my parents treated me and what impact that may have had on the way I brought up my kids. And that is something I hadn't really thought of. So there was some thought here that I was not anticipating, but I'm glad it happened.
Thanks for tuning in to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. And guess what? Everyone, every business owner hates doing the books for their business, except Sally Doyle. At Absolute Business Solutions, she is a trustworthy bookkeeper who loves crunching the numbers for small business owners and entrepreneurs. You can sleep soundly knowing every dollar in your business is 100% accounted for. You're freed up to do the work you are good at and keep leading. To set up a free consultation, call Sally Doyle, a profit strategist, bookkeeper, and innovative thinker at Absolute Solutions, 1-651-208-8151, or you can scroll down to the bottom of the show notes and click on Absolute Business Solutions and talk with Sally. So today we are continuing our conversation with the Wallners. So you've met the Wallners, you've had a chance to our first conversation. We were kind of setting up the story, which is both Alan and Rosie are self-employed at W Creative Branding. And over the years, the business has been a big part of their family culture. And it's not uncommon for the entire family to be involved with helping out on a project. Alan and Rosie met in high school and dated through college. After college, they married, and together they have three children, Lizzie, who's 27, Alex, who's 22, and Aaron, who's 13, plus two dogs, Rance and Leo. Just as their middle child, Alex, was wrapping up her senior year at Hopkins High School, she came out as transgender. So if we look at Joseph Campbell's, he's an American mythological researcher who wrote a famous book entitled The Hero with a Thousand Faces. And in his lifelong research, Campbell discovered many common patterns running through hero myths and stories from around the world. Years of research led Campbell to discover several basic stages that almost every hero quest goes through, no matter what the culture the myth is a part of. He calls this common structure the monomyth. Like George Lucas, the creator of Star Wars, claims that Campbell's monomyth was the inspiration for his groundbreaking films. Lucas also believes that Star Wars is such a popular saga because it taps into a timeless story structure, which has existed for thousands of years. Many followers of Campbell have defined the stages of his monolith in various ways. One of the ways I have identified, and I thought it would be helpful for today's conversation, because in our initial conversation, we set up our storyline here because the Wallners were called out of their ordinary world and into an adventure. And so we've been talking about Alexandria's coming out journey, Alan's journey to acceptance, and Rosie's journey to acceptance, their experiences and feelings about it. So in the hero's journey, you start out, you're in your ordinary world like they were. Alex was individually called to adventure. Hi, Alex.
Hello.
Welcome to the program. Today's podcast conversation. Yay. Woohoo! All right. I'll include you in a little bit more.
No,
so the hero meets a mentor, and the mentor gives the hero some courage to accept the call. But of course, a hero always rejects the call initially, which I was noticing with the process of grief. it's similar to the first step, which is denial. You don't want to go on the call. You don't want to be called. You want to do everything you can not to be called. But anyways, you end up on this adventure, and it always involves other people. The hero has to cross some sort of threshold to enter this special world. And then the hero encounters enemies and allies. They undergo this big ordeal that will serve as the initiation. So the hero confronts the villain, acquires the treasure, and then it's the road back. Is any part of that, does that relate to any of you? And we'll backtrack and do the introductions, but what do you think?
It's pretty close. I never looked at it that way, but it is fairly similar to that with transitioning and all that jazz.
And all that jazz. Yeah, it's almost a song here. Alan, how about you? Does this fit a little bit?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I think along the way, because, you know, you're trying to figure everything out, you do a little bit of soul searching along the way. And I think part of that hero's journey or the monomyth journey is also kind of discovering things about yourself that you didn't know were there, or maybe were there, but you've resurrected them, you know, kind of your true self.
Right. You find out what you're made of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then when you return back to your home, once everybody's accepted it, you're still in your ordinary world, but you're all in a different place.
Yeah, and you see it all very differently.
Yeah. So that's why I thought I would bring it into the conversation more clearly today, because I thought we've been taking our listeners on this journey, and to pull it together a little bit and look at it from another perspective will help us all, because we're all on these different journeys. That's why we love stories so much. Rosie, what do you think?
I think, too, part of the journey is you find other people who can help you along the way and realize you're not alone. And I think that's what we're starting to find, too, not just within our family, but the more we talk about this, the more we find we're not alone. There's people who will help us.
Exactly. A psychologist, Carl Jung, he had this concept of the archetypes, which is very famous and what we live with today. On a hero's journey and heroine's journey, you end up running into these different archetypes, both within yourself and externally. So like in The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy has to learn the rules of Oz when she gets there. And she runs into all these different people along the way. We also think of like the supernatural things, you know, the superheroes and all the different characters. And like in The Wizard of Oz, you know, it was in the make-believe world. So supernatural doesn't have to mean magical. There are plenty of hero stories that don't have wizards or witches. Supernatural simply means above the laws of nature. So heroes are almost always started on their journey by a character who has mastered the laws of the outside world and comes back to bestow this wisdom upon them. The supernatural character often gives them the means to complete the quest. Some of the time, the gift is simply wisdom. Other times, it's an object with magical powers. In every instance, it is something the hero needs to succeed at their journey. As Joseph Campbell says, one has only to know and trust, and the ageless guardians will appear. The job of the supernatural assister is to give the heroes what they need to finish the quest, not finish it for them. So one of the archetypes is the talisman. That's a special and often magical item that assists the hero on their quest. So if you think like in The Wizard of Oz, it was the ruby slippers. That was the talisman that accompanied her that had magical powers. And like we're going to be talking about in the transgender world, we need allies and helpers. So every hero needs a helper. And I'm considering you the hero in the story.
Awesome.
Yes, yes. And your family is along with you. So much like any superhero, needs a sidekick. Without the assistance of their companions and helpers along the way, most heroes would fail miserably. So if you can't get the heroes in your family, that's why other people go on searches, because you need the allies and helpers to complete any type of a journey. So it's critical to the story. Anyways, there's a whole bunch of other archetypes, like the shadows. Those are the villains, the enemies. Or sometimes it can be lurking, like your own fear can be part of the villain that can take you down. Mentors, that's the hero's guide or guiding principles that you need along your journey. Herald, the one who brings the call to adventure. This could be a person or an event. And in your case, what was the herald for you?
I guess figuring out something's not correct in my body, I guess, and how my...
Was that your intuition was telling you something's amiss?
I guess it was kind of my intuition, where it was just like I had an attraction to more feminine things.
Yeah.
And like I didn't feel comfortable doing masculine things or like acting masculine like a guy. I didn't feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah. That so was kind internally, of my big,
internally,
that was, yeah.
I don't know. It was kind of like a. This is a dumb analogy, but it's more like kind of like a compass where it's pointing north and you're trying to force it to go south.
Okay, and you've done everything in your power to go south.
Yeah, you're trying to pull it to go south, but it's going to naturally want to go north.
So eventually you just said, okay, I give up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going in this direction and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The threshold guardians are the forces that stand in the way at important turning points, including jealous enemies, professional gatekeepers, or even the hero's own fears and doubts. There's shapeshifters in stories, creatures like vampires and werewolves who change shape. In life, the shapeshifter represents change. So everyone in the family needed to make a change. The tricksters are the clowns and the mischief makers. They try to get you off the track. And the allies, like we were talking about, they're the characters who help the hero throughout the quest. People have argued at this point that the woman as the temptress, it can be a man as a temptress as well, I bear to say. So sometimes a character offers danger to the hero. It's trying to tempt them in a different direction and get them off the path. So we have all these different, you know, archetypes, both within ourselves, and we see them show up in our lives at different points, especially when you're on a hero's journey. Your hero journey is to reach acceptance and to kind of evolve into more of who you are individually, and then as a collective group, and also expand your life work. All right, so I want to hear more from you now. But I wanted to shape the story because there's so many, yeah, conversations. And we all have these journeys, and we might as well be talking about them in a way that makes sense to us. So we haven't been together for a couple months, and so now we're retaping. And so Alex, Alan, and Rosie are going to... get us up to speed on what's been happening and how they're doing. And then we would like to talk about vocabulary and the different types of words that are all around and about us that have to do with a transgender in people's gender and their sexuality and how it has affected your family. So who would like to start? Okay, I don't see any hands raising.
Well,
go ahead, Rosie.
I'll go first. I was looking over that our purpose, each of our purposes, and mine is about a journey, and that people need acceptance, open-minded, and for people to be receptive as we share our experiences as a family. I think the first. When I was thinking about this today, the first word that has really resonated with me is a trans ally. I didn't even know that was a term for people who are the supportive part I guess, are the supportive part of the hero or the heroine in Alex's.
Yeah, she can be both, darn it. Yes.
So, it's people who, you don't identify as LGBTQ, but you're there for support. So, I know in the people that we've talked to, that's almost one of the most important things is that the hero needs is some kind of support.
Yeah, absolutely. So how are you feeling and what's been happening for the last couple months?
Well, it's gotten warmer.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice that not a lot has changed in our family. I think that just means that after a lot of ups and downs in past years, even months, that it's more... I think we're all just settling into school and work.
Yeah,
it seems like all the heavy stuff we've, for the most part, I think, been through. So now we get to kind of hone in on the details, if you will. You know, just how do we communicate with each other just that much better? How do we surrender to things that we can't control? How do we, show compassion for one another? I think, just working on those pieces of the day-to-day help us out a lot, too. It's because, you can focus on that a little bit more and even be more present when you're not working on the big, heavy stuff.
Right, because when you're working on the big, heavy stuff, you're just focused in on yourself.
Just like, trying to get through the day.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's like, I got to breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so now that you've sorted through and done all the work, that's the importance of doing the work along the way, because then it does get lighter.
Yeah, you can actually start, actually trying to practice things, and really be your true self. And I know even mine and Rosie's conversations are a lot better than what they were years ago, and even mine and Alex's. And I actually enjoy our conversations today much more than I did in the old days, just because there was so much tension around them that the conversations today are just...
feel more genuine.
Yeah, they're more, it's more connected.
That's good, me too.
Yeah. I mean, yes, we were a family, but it just seemed like there was always so much going on and so much other stress that conversations were just conversations. They weren't connection. We weren't connecting with one another.
Wow.
At that deeper
level.
And now
you know the difference.
Yeah, the conversations, it's the energy around the conversation is very different. It's more of a heartfelt energy rather than a tension energy. More like Alex said, maybe more genuine, more authentic energy too. I think before that, because there was so much going on, that our energetic vibration between one another was somewhat chaotic, because I think even though Alex was going through a transformation, I think we all didn't really know who we were either. So I think... as a family, you go through it together energetically. And now that Alex is kind of settling down, I think we all are too, for lack of a better way to say that. But, when one person in the family is a little out of sorts, I think everybody energetically is as well.
I mean, that can happen just by somebody, having a bad day. Or like Matthew, Olivia, and I, we all, were together for dinner, and we were talking about, how was your day? How was your day? Well, two out of the three of us did not have a good day. And I said, we've got one. Somebody will get us through this meal.
Yeah.
You don't want everybody having a bad day at the same time. But it does happen. But yeah, it is those, it can be those little conversations and that you kind of miss when, or you're just experiencing stuff.
Yeah. Interesting enough, even the dogs act differently when they're a lot more relaxed and a lot more loving now than earlier when things are a little more tension filled. They weren't.
Like, what would they do?
They would just kind of do their own thing, almost like a cat.
Oh, kind of moved away from the energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. But now, I mean, they come over and they want attention. They want to give you attention. It's just very, very different.
Yeah.
Especially Leo. He's really come around and kind of, you'd like, outreach your arms to him and he'd turn away and walk away. And now he actually like turns his butt and backs up and gets close to you. It's kind of funny.
That's very cute. And how have you been?
I've been pretty good. You know, just not much has really gone on. I don't know. You know, like my dad said, I'm calming down.
And for you, what does that mean?
I guess it's kind of just really relaxed lately. I know like the last time we recorded our first couple, I was just out of a fairly heavy relationship that got very emotional really quickly. And that was taking a toll on me. And now it's been a couple months and I can actually like breathe and take a break and just, you know, kind of focus on myself and not have to worry about another person for a minute, which is really nice. You know, and then focus on school and things that I want to do and getting more out and off on the, I started to get very like introverted.
Yeah.
And I go online a lot and now I'm trying my best to like get out and about and go to events that I want to do and not sit at home on my phone and computer all the time.
Yeah.
And have like genuine interactions with people.
Yeah, I think that's really critical, whether mm-hmm. you're extroverted or introverted.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you were going more inward.
I was going more inward. I was spending, you know, I'd come home, I'd say hi to everybody, and then I'd go right into my room, close the door, and just kind of stay there and, you know, do whatever, and then go to bed. But now I'm trying to get out and not do that as much.
Okay. And, well, I remember from one of our conversations, maybe it was the second conversation when you were talking about your journey, you had gone through some depression.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were really inward and yeah. not doing much and you didn't feel good.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of showed its face again. And I know how to combat it and avoid it. And that is part of going out and socializing and trying to spend less time by myself.
So when you're talking about avoiding, you're talking about avoiding going into a depression, you mean?
Yeah. Going okay. into that take is... That's where a lot of my, like, I know that's where some of my issues stem from, was just, like, the feeling of being alone, I know, was a big one when I was starting to transition and that whole aspect of, like, you know, once I do this, you know, everybody could disappear, you know, my entire family, all my friends and yeah. everything, and that was kind of...
That was a real fear.
And that was a real fear, and that's kind of has stuck around a little bit, but I'm, you know... Now I'm seeing a really nice therapist, and he's helping me with a lot of those issues and everything and getting over that. And
so the therapist is helping you navigate.
Navigate, yeah. That's a good way to put it. Navigate all those, the stragglers that have hung on.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So that's really nice.
Good. Stragglers, you got those stragglers sitting on your shoulders?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just... So it's the stuff that I haven't dealt with yet.
Yeah, the shadow work, right?
The shadows, the as you were talking, like the heroes, they're the shadows or whatever that.
Yeah, a part of the archetypes.
Part of the archetypes, yeah.
Yeah, they're different aspects of ourselves, and mm-hmm. yeah, it's there's a lot to the journey, and it's kind of liberating to know
mm-hmm.
that we all have these kind of archetypes within ourselves, and so. If we have the desire to dig in and mm-hmm. explore a little bit more about ourselves, it can be kind of fun and scary, mm-hmm. and also a lot of emotional work can come out of it.
Yeah.
As we were all preparing for today's conversation about gender terms, Rosie, you sent me a list of 52 gender terms. And I'm like, okay, well, yeah, this is too overwhelming. There's no way we can talk about all of them. But one of the terms we've already talked about, which is an ally. And so why don't we go into first, Alan, I was, how would you like to approach the definitions?
Yeah, well, just for the record, Facebook has 71.
71. Oh my God. Okay.
No, it's so I guess it keeps going. But yeah, you know, and there's subtleties to everything. And I guess the we did a little bit of, when we first were trying to understand all of this, we did do some research. And I think, I don't even remember what I keyed in, but we ended up getting some. Search results that were talking about five genders. I'm like, oh, what's this all about?
Yeah.
And you know, you go back to a lot of the indigenous cultures, and you know, this goes way back to the beginning of humans. You know, they believe that there's five genders, and
I'll include the clip, the video clip that was National Geographic had covered in Indonesia. And they actually have ceremonies around the they include all five genders.
Yeah, and it's quite interesting. And I believe it was the transgender, you know, the male and female, they, two hearts, I think, is how they were referred to. And
Two-spirit?
Two-spirit, possibly, yeah. And they're seen as, because they have both male and female, they have a deeper connection with the spirit world.
Yeah, right.
So there are a lot of very interesting things when you start thinking about it, and they're highly revered as spiritual people.
So in that video clip of Indonesia and their culture, what are the five genders?
I may be a little off here because it's been a while since I've seen that, but I know there's male, female, transgender, and there might be like a gender fluid.
Yeah, and then there's a transgender female.
Yeah, and transgender male. Yeah. So that kind of sets it up. And of course, then today there's like gender fluid, there's pangender. Pangender is, you know, you don't have, you know, or you're all genders. So that opens up a whole nother way of looking at it as well. You know, constantly. Gender fluid is where you're constantly changing.
Gender fluid is just like when you're, you know, you wake up one morning and you feel you feel feminine, and then, you know, maybe 2 hours later by the afternoon, you're like, oh, no, you know, I'm feeling more masculine. It's more of a kind of just how you feel from moment to moment instead of being like, I am solely this. It's just back and forth and just kind of within the moment. Okay. You know, that's how one of my friends who's very dear, close to me, how they have said how they deal with their gender identity, their gender fluid.
Wow. So what if we talked about gender versus sexual orientation and gender versus sex?
Okay. Then we can bring up as my dad reminded me earlier, it's one of my favorite sayings that kind of explains all of this.
Okay. The difference between the two.
The difference between gender and sexuality is like, gender is how you go to bed, and then sexuality is who you go to bed with.
Okay.
And that's kind of the two, that's how it is.
Okay, who you go to bed with is the sexuality.
Is the sexuality, and then how you go to bed is the gender.
Yeah, how you go to bed as. Who you go to bed as.
I know.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
It's just.
And if you think about it, it is a pretty simple distinction, but yet out there in society, they blend it all together. And they are very different.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they're very important with identifying who we are and how we live and how we interact with people and how to talk with people. A friend of mine was telling me that she went to a restaurant and they had a sign up there to refer to the help using transgender terminology. And I was like, okay,
how would you even know?
What is that? Yeah. So how would you interpret that?
How I would probably interpret that is like, you know, a lot of people think that it's rude when you ask someone like, what are your pronouns? but that's actually not rude at all. So, like, if you go up to someone, you know, you can meet someone and be like, you know, hi, how are you doing? And then what pronouns do you use? And it just shows a way of, like, that you're kind of aware and that you're like, actively looking out to make sure that they're...
Well, that's the other area, too, with pronouns. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them. It's not just he, she.
Those are, like, the two main ones. I know, like,
there's they.
They is a big one.
That's, okay, so what's they?
That one is, like, gender neutral. It's just like, a gender neutral term of, you know, you're not affiliating someone with a male or a female.
Okay.
It's just, you know, it's like the middle bar. And then, you know, how I look at it is if I don't know how someone identifies their gender, then I usually use they pronouns until they correct me or someone who knows them corrects me. And it's just that's how you just
okay, be so aware. Let's say I was the they.
Mm-hmm.
Give me an example of a sentence you would use with that pronoun.
So I would be
with
like...
With me in it.
With you, with Nancy in it.
So, yeah.
So it'd be like, well, you know, I was talking to Nancy the other day, and they were telling me all about this fancy story that I slipped up. You know, it definitely is hard.
Tricky.
You know, I'm not a master at it. I've slipped up with some friends, you know, I have some friends that like flip. They do, I have some friends that's like, they'll do a she and they is ones, is they'll use both of them and you can use them interchangeably, but I have one friend where they use he, she, and they, and it's kind of like you just have to read. You know, that's kind of like that's kind of like you have to use your perception to see how they're presenting.
Yeah.
And that's what they have told me is, you know, how am I presenting in the moment is how I'd like to be referred to as.
Wow.
Yeah. It gets really complex.
It gets very complicated very quickly.
Well, how does that work, though, when you're in, you know, like classrooms or, you know, so one thing is to be interacting, like, with your peers, mm-hmm. and then they know the nuances mm-hmm. of what you're experiencing, mm-hmm. so then they can be clued in.
Yeah.
But for the rest of the...
I guess just to be...
Or, like, let's say you're part of a sports team,
mm-hmm.
and everybody knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you're working out together every day.
Well, if you know everybody, you'd hopefully, you know, make sure that everybody has told, or like you have figured out, or they have told you, like, this is how I'd like to be referred to it as, you know, they, he, or she. And, you know, you just, that's something that you share. Like, I don't.
So are they sharing them with that information with the coaches?
Yeah, you know, you would.
Okay.
I know, like a big thing is, like, when I go to, events that are like LGBT events, like in, you know, like groups or just some kind of meetings or something, like people will introduce themselves like that. They'll go, you know, hello, my name is Alex and I use she, her pronouns.
So in the workplace,
mm-hmm.
how should an employer introduce you, or how can the culture be set up so that it's very like accepting and the right language is being used?
I guess if you, when you meet someone new that you have not met before, you know, and you can't tell, like, you know, you can't tell if they're male or female, you know, it's polite to ask, to be like, you know, sorry, you know, just like, I'm sorry, I would just like to respect you. What pronouns do you use?
Okay, that's how they would do it.
And that's how you...
What
pronouns do you use?
Can I address you as? Okay.
And then, you know, 9 times out of 10 people will be really nice about it. And be like, oh, yeah, you know, thank you for asking. And I use he, him, or she, her pronouns. And, you know, then you go, okay, cool. And then, awesome. And then you go from there.
Somebody doesn't get it? Yeah, or I could see myself like, I'm remembering for a mm-hmm. while, and then I might slip up.
If you slip, you know, up,
especially
you know,
if it's like a they, him,
mm-hmm.
or they, her, or she, they, she, he.
You know, what you could do is just what I've done in the past is you know, you say you're sorry. Like if you know, if someone, you know, uses female pronouns and you call them he, you know, you just go, oh, I'm sorry, and then you correct yourself.
Yeah.
And then usually people don't get too upset, and as long as like, you're not doing it, like, maliciously.
Yeah, right.
People will be fine with it.
Okay.
But if you sit there and, like, you know, you're actively attacking and, like, going like, no, he is like this, you know, Jessica, he is like this or something like that, where you know they identify as female, but you're maliciously and actively going as masculine terms. People, you know, that's not nice.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And what are some other terms that you would like to make sure that we cover today? Biphobia and transphobia, I guess, stood out for me because they're, I am turning this around on other people who are really so phobic. You know, I'm addressing it more directly now. Well, that's transphobia.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think that phobia came from for you?
you know,
instead of somebody like having this, like it's my issue or, you know, or it's your issue. No, it's their phobia that's talking.
And it also is like a lack of, like learning and actively wanting to learn about it and being knowledgeable about it is a lot where a lot of transphobia comes from is where people see something that they don't know and they're afraid of it. Or they're not afraid of it, they're just scared of it and they don't like it because they don't know about it and they're not informed about it.
Yeah, and they don't want to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no curiosity. Yeah.
And that's where a lot...
Yeah.
Because that's where a lot of, like, stuff against the trans community is coming from, is from people who aren't knowledgeable about it and who don't want to know about it, and they're
ignorant.
You know, they're ignorant, and they're you know, so scary, a scary trans person,
rawr.
Right. And it's like that. So people think like that,
right? So biphobia is a prejudice, fear, or hatred directed toward bisexual people.
Mm-hmm.
And a transphobia is the prejudice, fear, or hatred directed toward transgender people.
Mm-hmm.
And you consider yourself not bisexual.
I actually do consider myself bisexual.
You do?
Yes.
Okay, so tell us more.
Well, that's the funny part. I've been able to figure out my gender, you know, cut and dry very easily, but my sexuality, I have no idea.
Okay.
That'll
come over time.
That's been bouncing all over the place. So I guess for me, like the easiest thing that I can put it as is bisexual. So which that means is I'm attracted to male and female people,
okay.
And like people who identify as male and people who identify as female.
Okay. And that might be for life?
Who knows? You know, for a while I thought I was a lesbian, so I got really strong into the lesbian community, and I was like, yeah, I'm a lesbian, woo! And then for a while I was like, no, I'm just straight, you know? It's all over the place.
That's part of your identity that you're sorting out.
And like, for me, my sexuality doesn't really matter as much as my gender identity, because like, you know, I know that I like everybody and I'm attracted to who I'm attracted to, and I don't think that should really be an issue and I should have a label for it. I'm just kind of like, yeah, I like everybody.
Yeah.
No matter what you got in your pants or no matter how you identify, you know.
You love who you love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really what it boils down to is the love, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's what you guys came to.
Yes, that's true.
Love the dogs. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. Any other terms that you want to bring up?
I don't know.
Is there a special one, Alex?
There isn't really like a special one, but like I know a lot of people get sexuality and or sex and gender, they kind of think are the same. And, you know, they're... Suppose
Okay, I've got an example. Okay, so the terms gay, lesbian, and straight apply to people who are transgender.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, a woman who has transitioned male to female and is attracted to men would identify as a woman who is transgender and straight.
Yeah, so if you're... Your sexuality and how you identify is not how you were before you transitioned.
I see.
So, like with me, I'm a female now, and if I were to go with my girlfriend, we'd be lesbians.
I see.
That wouldn't be a straight couple at all. We would be lesbians. And then if I was to go with a man and be with my boyfriend, you know, then we would be a straight couple.
I see.
And it doesn't, what you used to be before you transition normally doesn't matter.
Got it.
In how you identify now.
Okay.
Yeah. Because once you've gone through your transformation, you're male or you're female. You're not trans anymore.
You're not trans. Some people identify still as trans. Like that's because it's a big, you know, for a lot of people I know, it's a big important part of their life is that I am trans and they hold that very dear. But, you know, a lot of people, they'll, you know, they won't like dismiss that they're trans. They'll just not acknowledge it as much. Like for me, outside of like coming online and doing stuff like this, I'm what, you know, they call the quote unquote stealth, where, you know, I'm passable and I don't bring it up very much. Okay. You know, if someone asks me, like, you know, when, like, if I start talking about my childhood, I don't be like, you know, I was a guy once, you know, I referred as myself as a female as a child, and I keep it very just kind of not, I don't bring it up as much anymore because I don't really see a need to.
Yeah.
You know,
So it depends upon the situation, circumstances, mm-hmm. and the person you're with.
You know, it's also a lot for safety, too, with a lot of how politics and stuff are nowadays.
Yeah.
You don't know if, you know, you bring up that you're trans, that, you know, you might get beat up for it or you might run into some issues with someone. So it's just, a lot of it is for your protection and your safety.
Yeah. Well, and being in the military, mm-hmm. I mean, they're not, so they would pay, there was a law that was paid for if you're transgender and you're going through sex assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And transformation, that the surgeries would be paid for.
I believe so.
But now that has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like all these different rules.
Yeah.
So I can understand where you have to be very alert
mm-hmm.
and aware of where you are. And
like with the surgeries, it doesn't, you know, a lot of, that's another misconception that people have is like, every trans person is going to have the surgery. Like the big surgery, which is, you know, changing your genitals to match your how you identify. And I know some trans people that, you know, that they've been, you know, they've transitioned, you know, and they've been living, you know, 20 years. And they're like, no, I still have my same parts. I don't want to have surgery.
Yeah.
And, you know, that doesn't make a person any less of how they identify. So like if a male to female trans woman, you know, if she still keeps her penis, like, she's not any less a woman as a trans woman who gets the surgery.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make you more trans or not. It's just how it turns into how you feel comfortable in your skin and making yourself feel comfortable in your skin.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. All right. I would like to give audience a homework assignment. So something to work on this week. What would your suggestions be? It can be conversations to have with people or... Any ideas?
I would recommend going to the PFLAG site, and I found they have a booklet called "Guide to Being a Trans Ally."
What's the URL?
It's PFLAG.org.
Oh yeah, they have I was looking. Yeah, they have a lot of resources there.
They really do, and it's for people who have just heard the word transgender, want to know more, to, I think, you know, more of what Alex was getting at, some of those terms and pronouns and things like that. And
okay. Excellent. That's a great exercise to do this week, to become an ally.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
If you're not experiencing it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for being here. Thanks, Alex. Yeah. Thanks, Ellen. Thanks, Rosie.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère, brother from another mother. All right. Well, go out there and have some important, meaningful conversations with people this week, and we'll see you next Monday.